One of the numerous award-winning authors from Eckhart Press, our friends Rick Kempfer and Dave Stern's organization that is doing just a bang-up job here in Chicago. It's Bob Boone. Bob Boone, your book is City U. Tell us about that. Thank you for joining us. How are you?
I'm fine. I'm a teacher who writes, not a writer who teaches. But I like to write, and I spent a lot of my life teaching. I started teaching in 1964, and I'm still doing it. And I started writing in 1970 when I started writing a book about Hack Wilson, the baseball player. And I kept writing, but I got very interested in writing short stories in the mid-90s when I was working with a program called Young Chicago Authors and working with young people from the city. And I began writing stories about schools and not really exposés and not, you know, kind of political stories as much as just situations that are very common in schools. Somebody said, and I think it's quite right, that schools are like anywhere else, only more so. And that I just found all kinds of situations in the schools that are very interesting. People get into odd situations and they try to get out of them. And sometimes they don't get out of them. I've always admired short story writers. I think there's nothing I enjoy reading more than a good short story. There's something about a successful story where everything comes together. It's a very satisfactory experience, and I've tried to do that in my book, City U. City U takes place in a fictional city school, four-year school, and the characters are all connected to the school in some way, and in each story, something happens to the characters. Usually a result of human nature, you know, a poor plan, something they didn't quite figure out, something they want very badly. And I try to tell the story as clearly as I can. One story is about a character named Bernie and his buddy, Clyde, and they're both friends in the school. They've gone to the school for a couple of months. They're a little bit older. They form a very good friendship. And one day they decide to go on a mission of mercy. They're going to help somebody out. Now, Bernie thinks it's a good idea. His buddy's not so sure, but they do it, and you've got to read the book to find out what happens. there's a story about a guy named Clarence, who is a counselor, kind of a very officious little man. He wears purple suspenders and a red bow tie, and he tells a lot of people what to do. He's a counselor in all parts of the school. And one day he talks to a lady who has a very bad idea, and he has to decide what to do with this bad idea. There's a story about a guy named Roger, who on the worst day of his life is approached by his neighbor asking him to do something which is just utterly outrageous. You know, now the neighbor doesn't know, you know, Roger's having such a bad day, and a lot of my stories involve characters who are kind of caught, you know, in situations like that.
Sure, sure.
So anyway, it's a story about schools.
I like the idea. It sounds very John Hughes-like, right? Doesn't it?
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah. So a lot of those students had to be, you know, maybe not one person, but you maybe melded two or three together and come up with these incredible characters, right?
I think what happens is that I know people like the characters I describe, that I create. I always want to create characters that could exist in that situation. You know, no single character is one single person, but they are composites, and they are very close to my experience. I can remember them, and I can remember the kind of people they were and the situations they were in, and those are the kind of stories I like to write.
Very cool. We're talking with Bob Boone, author of City U on Eckhart Press. You visited the White House. Tell us briefly about that, if you could.
Well, this program, Young Chicago Authors, started in the mid-90s, and every year we had a number of students who were interested in writing come and work with us. I had a lot of good people helping me out in this program, and I got a lot of good young writers who wanted to keep writing. And we did a lot, and they did magazines, and they did performances. And the White House has a program called Standing Up Taller, and my program is one of the ones selected. And so I got to go to the White House and get an award, and my picture taken with Michelle Obama.
That's impressive. Congratulations on that. How do we get the book?
This is a link. It's cityubook.com. Capital C, and city, ubook.com, and that will get you the book.
Sounds good.
You'll have to pay for it, of course, but that's how you that's how you get there.
Our friends at Eckhart Press, they've got a stable of incredible authors, including you. Bob Boone, thank you for spending some time with us. We appreciate it.
It's nice talking to you.
Same here, Bob. Coming up next, another author from Eckhart Press, their stable of winners. This one has to deal with Wicker Park, and we're going to talk with her next here at 720 WGN. Phil Manicki in for Dave Plyer, 720 WGN. Joining us, another author from the Eckhart Press stable of incredible authors is Margaret Larkin, author of Wicker Park Wishes. Margaret, yes. First of all, thank you for joining us. How are you?
Good, and thanks for having me on, and happy National Cooler Day. But it was raining before, so I don't know if we can still enjoy the outdoors right now.
Oh, I think we always can. That tune, by the way, I don't know if it has to do with Wicker Park. It's by Eli Mattson. I don't know if you're familiar with it.
No.
He's from Door County, Wisconsin, and he gave that to us in 2019 on his album, Keep It Simple. So I saw that. And I had to share it with you and everyone else. For those who don't know, can you describe Wicker Park for us?
Yeah, well, right now Wicker Park is a place where you can get a $1 million home. But the Wicker Park that I talk about is, it's the area, the center of it is Milwaukee, North, and Damon. And it's a really interesting area. But several years ago, the time period I write about, it was a place where artists hung out, where you can get illegal drugs, et cetera. And there were a lot of, clubs, small clubs, big clubs, and small bars, big bars, and it was just really a creative area. And then in the mid-90s, they started developing it more, and then now you see it as it is. So I recommend everybody visit there.
Not that you did any of those illegal activities yourself, right?
No, I drank, and I was of age, so it's fine.
All right, just a disclaimer there, just making
right.
sure. So you wrote about this pre-internet.
Right.
What's the reasoning for that?
Well, it was in the early days of the internet, because nowadays people take technology for granted, but back in the early 90s, I mean, of course, the late 80s, but in the early 90s, there were people who were getting people online, and they were scattered around Chicago in the suburbs, and they were very small companies, and it was basically dial-up. And so I wanted to talk about those early days, because I think a lot of people don't realize that the internet was a local thing as well as a national. It wasn't just Steve Jobs in California. It was people in Wicker Park and I think Morton Grove or those areas, messing around.
Right, right. And that kind of changed things a little bit for everyone, didn't it?
Yes. And I mean, what's happened is that, now people can sort of blow each other off because, if somebody texts you and they don't text back, it's okay. But back then, you couldn't really do that. You had to actually call people. If somebody didn't show up at a club you were at, you'd have to go find a payphone, and it was a big struggle, and people passed paper notes and so forth. So the way of communicating was really different. And I'm sure you remember those days. So.
Oh, sure. Well, it goes back to how do you know if someone's home, you'd see the bikes on the lawn in front of their house.
Right. Yes.
back when we were kids. I mean, I know this is a little bit after that.
Yeah.
So I have to ask you, Claire is kind of the star of this one, right?
Yeah, she's a young woman from... I didn't specify, I said North Shore, I would say Kenilworth/Winnetka area. And she decides to live in that kind of neighborhood. So the kind of neighborhood I'm talking about is more like parts of Pilsen are right now. And it was just a big deal. I met those kinds of people back then, and it was an adventure for these people to leave their comfortable background and to live a very different life. So she's struggling with the kind of North Shore background she's from and the new life that she's, developing for herself.
Got it. And how does that work out? Or we need to read the book, don't we?
Yeah, that means it's a spoiler. So it's really, my friend who read it, she was my beta reader, she said, oh my gosh, I had to keep, I had to skip ahead to see what would happen. So that was a good sign.
She skipped ahead? Can you do that? You can't do that?
You can do that, yes, with a paper book especially, yes.
All right, just checking. So let's be honest, is Claire really you?
No, not at all. She's not me. She is somebody, an example of people I saw. And I think maybe a more famous example is Liz Phair, because she was from that area. I didn't base it on Liz Phair. I'm just saying that Liz Phair is a singer. And she was actually in Wicker Park during that year, during that time.
I see.
And she's probably one of those kinds of people, and she probably met a lot of people like her who were, you know, doing things and having fun in this very different neighborhood.
Got it. Got it. Cool. So therefore, the title Wicker Park Wishes.
Right.
Delve into that for just a little bit for us.
Okay. Well, basically, I think a lot of people have this struggle, is that, you know, you're raised a certain way, and you wish for a different life, but you're not sure if you should go for it. So this, you know, this is the main character, Claire. She's wishing, she's wondering, you know, how does she break free? How does she survive this crappy temp job? How does she deal with these guys? So she wishes for a better life and a more independent life, but she's also struggling to figure out, you know, what is best? What does that look like?
Got it. All right. So this book was kind of like a family project. Talk to us about that.
Well, no, it's because my husband did the cover. He's a professional graphic designer, so it sort of stuck out. And I think, yeah, I've gotten a lot of good feedback about that. So that's a family project that he did it. So I wanted to ask Rick, who owns Eckhart Press, I want to make sure that my husband could be involved in that way. And he's lived on the north side of Chicago for 50 years. So he was a perfect person to do that.
Got it. Talk to me about your uncle in Buffalo. How is he involved here?
Oh, yeah, Buffalo. Okay. Yes. Well, I was writing this late 2019, and then, of course, the pandemic hit, so I was stuck at home, and I wasn't really motivated. And then my uncle, who is a epidemiologist, he was supposed to give a talk about COVID-19. And the day before he was supposed to give that talk to other physicians, he died suddenly. And
oh, no.
He, in addition to being a physician, he was an interesting guy, but he also wrote a successful novel that he actually bought his house with from the proceeds.
What?
And I wanted to call him. And of course, I couldn't call him, so I thought, okay, I need to, I need to stay motivated in his memory. And he lived in Buffalo. He was totally Mr. Buffalo. He lived in downtown Buffalo. And so, actually, I dedicated to him, and I did hashtag Buffalo. So if anybody's from Buffalo, that's why, that's that reference.
Now, are there wings involved with this or no?
Wings? No. Oh, my gosh, no.
Okay.
I just want
to make sure. So you started this before the pandemic. How did the pandemic affect your writing, and what went on there?
Well, I mean, the pandemic, I mean, of course, I'm not Shakespeare, but, I mean, you know, a lot of people can relate to this. You have more time to pursue what you really, you know, really want to do, and there's more time for introspection. And I started the book in around September 2019, and then when the pandemic hit, after I got over the shock of it, it just made me more productive, because I thought, okay, I'm here, I can't really go out, I can't really do much, so I'm just going to keep going. And it helped me to focus my time. I met with people online in these little writing groups, and I just kept, you know, making goals. And so I think other people can relate to that, too, because there are people at woodworking projects and so forth, and they have also made their own goals, and I'm sure they finished incredible gardens and so forth. So I'm one of those people. I just did it in book form.
Was that easy to do?
It's not easy to write a book at all, okay, because you have to rewrite, et cetera. So... And you also have to go deep inside yourself, so it's very difficult. But somehow I did it.
There's got to be times when you doubt yourself, right?
Yeah, you definitely want, yeah. I mean, there are times I doubted myself, like, what the heck am I doing? But then I kept, thanks to these little writing groups I was in, I just kept making goals, and then I gave it to a couple friends of mine, and they read it, they gave me feedback. So I just thought to myself, I don't want to leave this pandemic with nothing accomplished, so it just was really motivating.
That's cool. It reminds me of an episode of Dick Van Dyke. He's writing a novel, maybe you've seen this, and he goes to a cabin out in the woods, and he's trying to write, he gets writer's block, and he's going crazy, and then he finds out somebody's coming to visit him, and he just goes crazy, and he's loving it, and it's kind of like that, it's got to be, right?
Yeah, although Dick Van Dyke, actually I read his memoir, I don't know if you've read his memoir, it's really good, but... I think the difference between, you know, Dick Van Dyke situations and being a novelist, I mean, that's why it's so true what he was going through in that show. It's because when you're a writer for a show, you're in a writer's room. But when you're writing a novel, it's just you and the computer or the paper. So it's really, it's like you're hiking up a mountain, and you keep telling yourself, I have to reach the top of that mountain.
Right. We're talking with Margaret Larkin, the author of Wicker Park Wishes. Now, the book is not out yet officially, right?
Right. It's in pre-order mode. And then people can get it at wickerparkwishes.com.
So you can pre-order it right now?
Yes.
When will it be available?
June. I mean, you know, May's almost over, so, yeah, I think in June. Yeah, definitely in June, but I'm not sure yet, because, you know, that's the drama of not having a major New York publisher who's like a million miles away. So
right, you don't need a New York publisher. You got our fine friends at Eckhart Press, right?
Well, yeah, and obviously, and also the great thing about Eckhart Press, and that's why I'm really glad they accepted my book, is because they are totally Chicago oriented, and I'm obsessed with Chicago. I've lived in the city for 25 years. I'm obsessed with how the neighborhoods have changed, good and bad, and they totally get what I'm doing. You know, if I were to be with a major New York publisher, I don't know if they would understand what I was trying to get at.
No, they wouldn't from New York. They wouldn't at all. So not to jump ahead, but it sounds like you've got a lot that you can do in the future. What's next for Margaret Larkin?
Okay, well, in terms of writing, I have like many day jobs, but in terms of writing, I'm actually on another. What I did was I took one of the characters from this book, and I plopped him in another book, and so I'm on the second draft. I won't give away the plot, but basically it takes place in the Gold Coast near where I live right now. I live in Streeterville, and it also takes place in Bridgeport. And it's a few years after the current book that's out.
Sounds good. That current book is Wicker Park Wishes from Margaret Larkin from Eckhart's Press. Thank you, Margaret, for spending some time with us. Good luck with the project, okay?
Thank you so much.
You're very welcome.